This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. You know what Monday means. EJ Raddick from NHL
yes,
Now.
It does.
From the hours of 4 and 6, unless the bean pot's going to get in the way.
Yeah, that we have the bean pot on Monday evening here. So we have two games back to back. So we're only doing our show today. So we're easing into the week, which is nice. Sometimes it's nice to ease in.
Yeah, why not? That's what Monday's supposed to be all about. Especially,
yeah,
you know, we just saw
yeah.
the Super Bowl, football season's over, yeah. and now we can kind of focus yeah. on the Stanley Cup and all that goes
That's
into
right.
getting ready for that, even though we're not really close to rewarding that. But still, you know, there is a lot to be decided. I think February is a very interesting month with the extra day, some extra games in the month of February. Rangers playing 15 games in the month of February. First time they've done that since the 55-56 season. So you're just seeing a lot of you know, condensed schedule, and it's kind of a moving month as well. When we get out of the end of this month, the trading deadline would have already happened, and I think we'll get a clearer picture on who's in, who's out, if we don't already have our sneaking suspicions already.
Yeah, it's a good time to be playing well, right? I mean, you want to be kind of moving forward in your game right now, and like you said, there's a lot of teams that have that kind of condensed schedule because we're just coming out of those buys, the All-Star break. I know the Rangers early in the year had that goofy schedule where they didn't play for several
right.
days at a time. So now they're gonna make up for it. And the good news is, if you're playing well at that time, you know, in this window, you could really make a move. So we'll see how things go. You're absolutely right. We'll know more at the end of this month, certainly, than we know right now.
That was a fun week. We saw a couple of games, the Battle of Alberta, giving us a little flavor on what it'd be if they were to play each other in the first round, although that wouldn't happen right now as Calgary's dipped to the wild card and Vegas has jumped up to that third spot. We got a lot of time left, but boy, Saturday, things got a little out of hand.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. Anytime you have a goalie fight,
yeah,
right, Don, I mean, that right away attracts attention. So so that was kind of interesting. And that was a good goalie fight. They squared up. Mike Smith, I would say, got the better of things. But, yeah, so when you have that, and that was the culmination of those two games where we had the build-up with Cassian and Tkachuk, and they had a fight, and we had the Monahan fight with the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You had the shootout in the first meeting last week where Riddick ends up with the stick toss, and then, you know, we get into another scrap on Saturday night in a goalie fight, and the Edmonton Oilers win that one. So certainly a very, very interesting two games and kind of a throwback, right? Old school. That was old school.
Yeah, that was.
Hockey right there. That was something that we would have could have seen in the 70s or 80s or 90s. And you see it here in 2020, you don't see it as much nearly as you used to, but that was definitely a little old school battle, and a seven-game series between those two teams would be pretty interesting.
And what we've had with Arizona struggling now, just two wins in their last 10, and a couple of overtime losses recently, and Chicago winning seven of their last 10, you know, they're all of a sudden the Blackhawks. They're 3 points out of a playoff spot with two games in hand on Arizona. I got asked back on Friday on Twitter, what do you do if you're the Blackhawks? Are you a buyer? Are you a seller? I don't think they're a team that can make a run, EJ, but are they a team that is going to try to honor this, we have a chance to make the playoffs here?
Well, I would think one thing that comes to mind when you mention those two things, think about, again, the importance of goaltending. Because, you know, the Arizona Coyotes, they've had the injury, you know, at that position there with Darcy Kuemper, who was playing lights out. I mean, through his first 25 games, .929 save percentage. I mean, he was the backbone of that group. And since he's been out, they've struggled. They haven't been near as good. And the Chicago Blackhawks, on the other hand, I mean, they struggle to defend. But Robin Lehner, and you go into the deep analytics of, you know, the shot opportunities and where they come from, and you know, the Blackhawks give up chances. Robin Lehner has been so good for them. And then Corey Crawford, when they've needed him to jump in, has been excellent. So, you know, that's what's happened in the last little while. Why you talk about those two teams. Arizona is struggling because the goaltending hasn't been near as good. And the Blackhawks are surging because they feel confident that, you know, they can give up chances and Robin Lehner will clean up some of that mess for them. So to your question, what the Hawks will do, I don't know. You know, it really depends. I mean, they could use another defenseman, right? So if somebody's out there, you'd be interested in acquiring them. But You know, I think for the Blackhawks, you don't want to pay too steep a price because, as you mentioned, I mean, this is not the 2013 Blackhawks.
Right.
This is a different group right here, and I think they're kind of in like a, I don't want to say a rebuild, but kind of a retool on the fly here as they've added some young players that have been helpful guys for them. So I don't think you want to give up too much, but you know, perhaps if they continue to play well as we get closer to that deadline, maybe Stan Bowman will maybe try to add a defenseman if he can.
You know, it's interesting. Chicago, Winnipeg, they're 3 points back, also with a game in hand on Arizona. And Nashville had a couple of wins out of the break. They did lose over the weekend, but they still have those games in hand, right? They've got 3 games in hand on Arizona, even though they're 4 points back. But here's what's interesting about Chicago, Winnipeg, and Nashville. All barely hanging on. Chicago, 12-12-3 at home. Winnipeg, 12-12-2 at home. Nashville, 11-11-4 at home. If those teams are just a tick better in their own buildings, they're playoff teams. It's just ironic that all three are in the exact same situation, and all three have been average to below average at home.
And you know what? There are three places that are usually, you know, really hard places to play.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the United Center, up in Winnipeg with that crazy fans there, and in Nashville. Those are places that the home team usually does well. Hasn't played out that well this year. You know, I got to see Nashville and the Devils play on Thursday night, and boy, oh boy, there was a game where there was very little good defensive play.
Mm-hmm.
The Nashville Predators just don't defend well. I'm not sure if they can get that turned around, if John Hines has enough time to get that turned around, but they do not defend well. And they, you know, really rely on their goaltender a lot, and that's hard because Pekka-Rinne is just not had the kind of year that he's had in other years, and the same can be said for UC Soros. So, It will be interesting to see how things play out here in these last couple of months of the season, because you're right, there are some teams that are teetering on the edge. I think the fact that the Western Conference has been, a little bit more mediocre this year than it's been in past years has allowed that to happen, right? If there was teams that were playing better in the Western Conference, some of these teams would be further out. But the door is open. I mean, the door is certainly open for Nashville. Like you say, they have games in hand. They've played 51 games. You know, Arizona's played 54. You know, Calgary's played 53. So that's a wild card kind of situation there. So there's room. But I'll tell you what, Donnie, if they don't defend better, they're just not. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Even if they were to sneak in, they wouldn't go very far because you just can't defend that poorly.
You know, and the Eastern Conference is interesting. I know a lot of non-Ranger fans or non-East Coast people are a little sick and tired of just talking about the Rangers situation with the three goaltenders, but I did get a little bit of information to Detroit. Wanted to see what you thought. You know, I was out there. Red Wings are desperate for goaltending. They don't have anybody really in their system that they're looking forward to bringing up. Georgiev seems like it'd be a very good fit there in Detroit. Do the Red Wings have anything that would attract attention from the Rangers? Would an Athanasiou move the needle at all? Do you see any kind of, can they be dance partners?
Well, the Red Wings have a bunch of young forwards that, you know, they're really hurting on defense and in goal. But when you look at their group, they do have, you know, an excess of young forwards. But, you know, the question is, you know, as much as Ranger fans might like Georgiev or might wish that Georgiev could attract more in a trade, the reality is he doesn't have a long body of work. He's someone that's kind of come out of nowhere, so to speak. I mean, he's played under Benoit Allaire as the goalie coach there, who's had a history of developing goaltenders, you know, making goaltenders, you know, maybe more than they actually are. And when they leave his tutelage, they're not as good as we've seen with, you know, Talbot and Raanta, where they've had moments, but, you know, they haven't been nearly as good as people thought they might be over the long haul. So, you know, Steve Eiserman has been observing this year, and he's watched a really very difficult situation there. They have a lot of work to do in Detroit, but there is one thing, again, they have forwards, and, they have some guys that there might be some interest, but it just depends on how the Rangers, you know, feel about these guys. I mean, you know, you talk about Athanasiou. He's a $3 million player. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. I mean, the Rangers have their own cap challenge.
Yeah, you're right.
Moving forward. So I think, you know, they'd be looking for somebody that's a little younger that they can control the dollars, you know, a little bit better with. So, again, that would, you'd have to, That's a question for Jeff Gorton and his scouts to determine whether there's a guy or guys in the Red Wing organization that they like as young players that could fit with their group. But it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out with the goalies, with the Rangers. And, right now they're managing it. I guess Henrik is going to start again on Monday night against the Red Wings, against the Stars, after shutting out the Red Wings on Saturday. So, the trio continues. And I think the Rangers, would be wise to hold strong and say, like, hey, we're okay playing the three guys for now. And, unless they get something of significance. I just don't think you ever like to give things away.
Right.
Just to make your life easier. I mean, this is a team that's is still in a rebuild, and they've got to figure out what's best for them to do. They have an asset there, and I think they have to try to continue to manage it. And when they feel that there's a good deal for them, they can pull the trigger then. So that'll be the task for Jeff Gorton and company, is just try to find the right match.
And Kreider took a knee to the head on Saturday from
his
own.
Nasty.
It was. The Banajad tried to jump over him, nailed him, didn't come back into the game. He said he was all right afterward, not serious. He's a game time decision
tonight, right?
Well, he's a game time decision. They called up DiGiuseppe. So I wouldn't be surprised if they give him an extra day. It doesn't look like it's serious, but you wonder because, there's a lot. He's rumored. There was a series of articles about what a perfect fit he'd be in St. Louis. So, for their run to try to see if they can't make the playoffs, or the fact that we're getting close to the deadline, you don't want to see somebody of that significance get hurt. But it doesn't look like it's anything long-term, but may not play tonight.
Well, listen, I would say this. I mean, it kind of looked like to me it was, a head injury. You just don't know. I mean, we don't know, right? I mean, we'll see. Hopefully he'll play tonight, and hopefully he'll be fine. He'll have no worries moving forward. But that was, he got his bell rung pretty hard there by that knee of the bag. Yeah. That total freak accident. But the Rangers have to hope that he's going to be okay, because let's face it, it's looking more and more like, he'll be on the move, and the Rangers could get, that's a different situation than your game. The Rangers could get a player of substance in a deal for Chris Kreider. So we'll have to watch and see how it plays out. He'd be a good fit in St. Louis, a good fit in Colorado, a good fit in Boston. I mean, they go down the line. A good fit in Columbus. He'd be a good fit in a lot of places. He's just a good hockey player. Big, strong, fast. Maybe not the player that maybe Ranger fans had hoped when they first drafted him years ago. I mean, there's some valleys. I think we've talked about it with Chris Kreider, and my feeling is always like the peaks are high and the valleys are long. But that's not to say he's not a really good, helpful hockey player with a lot of natural ability. So I hope he's okay, and I hope he does play tonight, and I hope he's going to be, continue on with things without any hitch.
All right, Washington-Pittsburgh's really heating up here. Pittsburgh gets the win before the Super Bowl yesterday. They're now just 4 points back of Washington for first with a game in hand. Their goal differentials are almost identical. This could be a lot of fun who wins this Metropolitan Division.
The Penguins are dialed in.
Yeah.
They've been dialed in right from the start of the season. They've had a lot of injuries. And the thing that stuck out to me yesterday, Don, is when there was a point in one of the goals they scored. I think it was late. I think it was the 4-2 goal. It was kind of a freaky goal that was scored. But you look at their bench. They were celebrating like it was a Stanley Cup final. I mean, it was like a huge group hug on the bench. And, I mean, these guys are just, they're committed and they're dug in. Remember, this is a team that is only 2 years removed from winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. They still have the key elements there. They've moved some pieces around. They've added some younger players. So I'll be curious to see if they can, keep this moving. I mean, Matt Murray has played much better of late. He got the win yesterday. He made a lot of big saves in that game. I think he's won his last six starts. So I'll be curious to see what happens with the Penguins, this year, because this is, like I said, this is a team that they seem, at least from afar, to be very, very focused this year on the task at hand. They're playing, a much better 200-foot game, and so I'll be really curious to see if they can catch the Capitals and how they're going to play in the playoffs, because this is not going to be this is not the same Penguins team that we saw last year get swept by the Islanders.
No.
This is a much tougher, harder team to play against.
Yeah, that just seems to be a team on a mission. That's going to be a lot of fun to see those two teams go at it. And, and also, if one finishes first, the other finishes in second, we avoid that whole first-round matchup, which which I don't think anybody would want to see. Save that for a little later. Unfortunately, it won't be in the conference final where everybody would want to see that kind of a matchup, but, you know, try to get a little bit later than sooner.
It would be, you know, that's the negative about the playoffs as we do them. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about it over the years. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you're given a path you have to follow and you have to try to figure out a way to get through it. And that's just life. But, you know, wouldn't it have been wonderful if in another world we would have had a final between the Penguins and Capitals at one of these years? They were like, you could argue the years the Penguins won the Stanley Cup, the back-to-back years, that the Penguins and Capitals were the two best teams in hockey. And it just would have been nice to, in a perfect world, those things would be nice. I mean, we don't live in that world, but it would be terrific to see the two very best teams, regardless of what conference they're in. And we saw it on the other side for years with Chicago and L.A., right? I mean, they were great, great teams that took turns winning Stanley Cups in 12 and 13 and 14 and 15.
Right.
And it would have been nice to see a Stanley Cup final of those two teams. But, that's the way it is in sports. Sure, it happens in the other sports as well. It happens in baseball. It happens in the NFL. It happens in all the different sports. But it's certainly been a great matchup over the years, the Capitals and the Penguins, and I think we're going to see. We could see more of it this year.
Are you ready for some tweets?
Yeah.
All right. Tom asks a very intriguing question. If you guys could each have your own goal song, what would it be?
I've never thought of that before.
Well, would you your walk-up if you played baseball? I'm sure you thought about that.
I'm a big Springsteen fan, as you know.
Yes.
Right? So, I don't know. I might want 10th Avenue Freeze Out. I've always liked kind of always a song I've always... there's a million songs, right, Don? I mean, there is a million songs from different artists that are great songs that you could use. But I guess I'll be true to... having been a big Springsteen fan, that would probably be the one I'd pick off. Just off the top of my head as we're talking. Well, how about you?
Well, you got to be smart about it because, I could pick my favorite song of all time, which is Bridge Over Troubled Water. I don't think anybody would want to hear that after a goal song. Bring down the house in a bad way. Everybody's excited, and it's like a bridge. Freedom by Rage Against the Machine. That would be my... goal song.
All right.
So for those of you out there, Google it, check it out. I think it's perfect for a goal.
All right.
How about Billy? How close would the Rangers need to be in striking distance of the playoffs to not have the fire sale everyone thinks is coming?
Well, I mean, I'd say that happened. I mean, let's see, where are they? We're at 54 points.
Yeah, 9 back with 2 in hand on Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to go on a real nice run. I'd say you'd have to probably reel off, you'd probably have to do something like 9-1 over the next 10, where now you're picking up steam and the players are playing well and there's a belief. And if you did that, then all of a sudden you might be considering what your other options
are. Well, here's what I'd say. This is a big week, right? You just came off back-to-back wins against Detroit, but it's the Red Wings, right? So, no offense to the Red Wings. They're easily the worst team in the league. But you can establish something here. Tonight's a decent test. You got Dallas coming in. They're on this Eastern swing. They won in overtime against the Devils. I mean, it's a winnable game, but, that's still a team that's better than you. Wednesday, Toronto. That's one of the teams you're chasing after. Possibly for the wild card, although the Leafs have moved up to third, but that's very fluid. And then you close out the week at home against the Sabres and home against the Kings. So I look at the four, I look at those four. I said, if you really fancy yourself a playoff team, try to be hot out of the break. Get what do you got? The four games here. Get six. Yeah. Try to get 6 or 7 of the next 8 possible points, and that means beating some teams that maybe you're not supposed to beat. And then you go out west and take on Winnipeg. Well, the Jets, we just talked about their struggles at home. I mean, if you're going to do this, then you got to rattle off, 8 of your next 10, 9 of your
That's
next
what I
11.
Mean.
So
That's
you're right, and now's the time, right? You already got the 2 wins back to back. You got some winnable games at the back end of this 4-game homestand. Go out and get 6 or 7 of a possible 8, and that now we're talking.
Yeah, and even if you get, even if they were to win 7 of their next 8, right, if you include the first 2, right, against Detroit, how much, at the end of that run, are they 8 points out of a wild card?
I think what you have to establish.
You want to be playing way better, I guess, at that point. I will tell you this, they'd have to do a lot for me.
Of course.
Because if you're not going to re-sign Chris Kreider, he's just too big of an asset to let leave via free agency.
Right.
you get nothing. I mean, you get cap space, which the Rangers do need. But, you know, there's an opportunity to get a player that can help your team down the road. And I think that, you know, that's the biggest thing. The Rangers, Jeff Gordon, I'm sure, and John Davidson, they have to keep their eye on the big picture.
Of course. Because, and just like, know, Chicago.
That's where it is. Yeah.
Ask yourself this. All right, maybe you do sneak into the playoffs. And I think there's value making the playoffs. There's money to be made, especially Absolutely. In a building like Madison Square Garden. But, you know, you ask yourself, for a franchise that seems so focused on the future, am I going to hurt my chances in the future for some kind of Fugazi run where, yes, we made the playoffs, but is there, I know anything's possible, but that's not how you want to do business, right? There's some teams that value going to the playoffs. A team like Columbus, they would value that after losing Panarin and Bobrovsky. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, trying to sell hockey in a non-hockey market, there could be value long-term for something like that. But for the Rangers, their fans have been patient, and to just make the playoffs and, you know, lose in the first round in five games to Washington, to me, just doesn't seem like it's worth it. So if you're playing well, then maybe it's a different story. Maybe we get to the deadline and we're like, boy, this team has been on fire. Maybe there is something to it. But right now, that's been win two, lose two. They've been very average. And I think they deserve their standing in where they are. So
I think they've been really what we've expected. For
yeah, and that's and not to insult them. I think they've been entertaining. I think they've been fun. But I'm saying is that the record is what it is for a reason.
Yeah.
So
no, I agree. I agree with you. And I think, you know, a couple of things I would take out of what you just mentioned. I'd say, first of all, I would say that, just so we don't, you know, get the Blue Jackets fans riled up, is it's a smaller market, but it's not a non-hockey market. I mean, there's a lot of hockey in Columbus, and there's a lot of kids playing hockey.
No, I guess the better way to say is the non-traditional hockey market. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a smaller market, and they just lost some bigger players, and you know, so for, you know, but you remember, they're doing it with really younger players that fit with their group, right? They aren't doing it with, like, you know, retreads or, you know, people that they've gone out and picked up. They're doing it with people acquired through, you know, through the draft, and they've had some good fortune with their young goaltenders playing really well for them. But, you know, again, for the Rangers, you know, the future is definitely down the road. And, you know, the Blackhawks are in a little different situation for me, because they still have Keith, Taze, Kane, that is a core that they probably still think, you know, let's face it, they're not going to be better positioned to win with those three players 3 years from now as they are now, right? So they're in a little different circumstance. But the Rangers, you know, this is a group that's got young players coming, and players that are going to be better next year than they were this year, and they've got the young goalies. And, you know, they've got to really continue to focus, in my mind, on building this team for, like, you know, next year, the year after that. I mean, fortunately, Panarin is still young enough that I think he can kind of grow with, you know, with the team gets better, he's not going to fall off too much in my mind. And he's been just lights out this year, so good. So, you know, I think for Jeff and Jeff Gordon and John Davidson and that group, I think that they've got their eye on the bigger picture. And, you know, we'll see what happens over the next month.
All right, Davis, this is a typical complaint, and I don't blame him. How can the NHL claim to want to grow the sport when they don't make their best rivalry going on right now available on national television? I know it's a late time slot, but NBC Sportsnet does show late games, time to flex. Of course, he's talking about the Edmonton-Calgary game from early, not Saturday, but earlier in the week.
I mean, there was a big problem with that game. First of all, it was not on the center ice package that night. And so, at least for me, I have DirecTV, and I get, you know, all those games. I could not watch that game. And I was, fortunately, the NHL Network, the godsend for hockey fans that we are here, they basically, because it's two Canadian teams, there's really no restriction on how much of the game they could show. They showed a lot of that game. So I was able to keep tabs of it through that.
Why wasn't it available on center ice?
That's a great question. I have no idea why, but other people, I mean, I think, you know, if people listen to this, they'll probably let you know that they had a similar experience, because you did want to watch it. So that night, the Kings and the Lightning were the NBCSN game that night. They played a late game in Los Angeles, and that game had been scheduled. And, in the aftermath of the tragedy involving Kobe Bryant, there was the run-up of the opening that night. I think people were really interested in that. And, they were committed to that, you know. And you know, let's face it, Edmonton and Calgary is greater rivalry. There's two Canadian teams, and this is a business. Now, all that said, it should have been on center ice for sure. So hockey fans do have the opportunity, if you have that package, to watch it or through the streaming services to watch it. And then, you know, Saturday night, I don't know, it was Saturday night before the Super Bowl. I don't know what NBCSN has committed to do on that in that circumstance. But it would be nice to have them on. But I will say again, you know, and we've talked about this before, Don. I mean, when we were growing up, I mean, those games were only a they were a rumor. I mean, that they were.
Oh, yeah.
We saw them on the schedule, and you didn't know till the next day if they were played. So, you know, for hockey fans now, and it would be nice if everything in life were free. But you have the ability to get the center ice package. You have the ability to get the streaming, through NHL.com, and you have the app. You know, you'd have the availability to watch. You know, have access to those games. I'm just a little ticked that it wasn't on center ice because it should have been, and I have no idea why it wasn't.
Yeah, it's just probably a quirk. I noticed that it wasn't on, and I was going to ask you about it. I'm glad that it did come up from you. The other thing, and a bit of a defense for NBC Sports, and if you notice, a lot of the late games they take, they just take the local feed.
Well, they have the Comcast, right? That's
right.
What they do. They take the feeds of their most of the time of. Oh, these are
right.
If they're in the same company, the same family,
right?
You know, so, like in San Jose, they have.
Did you see that a lot with the Sharks when the Sharks were good
absolutely.
And they were airing their games?
Absolutely.
You know, you would
absolutely.
Get their local feed. So, so Hahn's calling the game. It's a little bit different. Randy Hahn calling the game. So it's not really your typical NBC Sportsnet game. They acknowledge that they're on NBC Sportsnet. And a lot of that is just the logistics for travel and the money that it takes sometimes to get to these Western games when you know that the rating, because it's a 10:30 start, is going to be a lot less. That's harder sometimes to do when you're talking about simulcasting Canadian television. Plus, all right, well, that's a big game. You know it's on the schedule, but it gets expensive because depending on where you're flying your announcers, Calgary and Edmonton aren't the easiest places to get to. So I think a lot of times it just becomes logistics. Now, if they play in the playoffs, those games will be available on national television. But, you know, to give these networks a bit of a break, sometimes, you know, broadcasting a late Wednesday game, you also don't want to spend more money than you can make. Too often either. So I do think, you know, we're not talking about in other sports, like, you know, when the NFL has Tennessee, Jacksonville, it's not attractive, but they're easy places to get to. Edmonton and Calgary, not exactly the easiest places to go.
A little different.
Let's close it out with our friend Chris, who's a big Flyer fan. He says the Flyers have played well the last couple of weeks and have Goss, Despair, and Hart returning by the weekend. Who are more realistic trade deadline targets, or could they just make Wade Allison an entry-level contract in April, a la what Colorado did last year with McCarr?
No, I mean, I'm sure they could if they feel he's someone that could come in and play for their team. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of moves that the Philadelphia Flyers are really going to make. I mean, you think of their team. I mean, they've added some really good young forwards to their group that are more important within their team that they could bring in. Their defense, you know, outside of injuries, you know, it seems pretty set as the guys they have there. I just think they, you know, Carter Hart being healthy is a big, big deal to them. I've said it all year long. The Flyers will go, you know, will have success based on what Carter Hart is able to do in that. I mean, the kid Alex Lyon played pretty well the other night. Brian Elliott's been okay for them as well. But I think really at the end of the day, it's going to be Carter Hart having to be good. He doesn't have to be unbelievable. He just has to be really good. And, you know, he is the face of the goaltending future in Philadelphia. So, you know, that's kind of the way I see it. They're in the mix. They've been... You know, a little bit. They've been a tough out this year, but they've been one of these teams. You talked before, home and road. They've been really good at home. I mean, 18-4-4, and they haven't been anywhere near that on the road, 10-13-3. So, can they have Hart back if he's playing well? If they can get their game and tuned up a little bit on the road to be a little closer to how they've been at home, I mean, they're going to be in the mix to the end. So, I don't know if there's any answer necessarily in the trade market for them. Based on the lineup they have right now and who they would want to trade and what they could afford to bring in.
Well, this was a lot of fun, man. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. And one other quick thing, speaking of feeling better, as I wanted to mention it before about Nashville, Ryan Ellis is going to be going on their trip. I think they're on a 4-game trip. And, you know, we talked a little about Nashville. And, you know, if he can get back playing at some point, that would be a big help for them because, as it is, they struggle on defense. And not that he's the best defensive defender, but he's certainly a high-end defenseman in this league, and they'd be thrilled to get him back. And it just reminds us, I mean, that incident happened on January the 1st, Donnie, and here we are into February, and he hasn't played since. So hopefully Ryan Ellis is going to be back playing.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. You got it, Donnie.
That is the great E.J. Raddick. Joins us every Monday on the Game Misconduct Podcast. Of course, you can check him out on the NHL Network on NHL Now. Well, let's take a look at just the three games tonight in the NHL. We mentioned the Rangers and the Stars. It looks like Hintz is going to be back for Dallas playing and centering that top line. Kreider's going to be a game-time decision. Henrik Lundqvist playing back-to-back games for the first time since late December. Maple Leafs and the Panthers. Panthers had their winning streak snapped in Montreal. Now they're in Toronto to take on a Leaf team that has climbed back up the standings. Now third place in the Atlantic Division after an overtime win in Ottawa. So both those games will be at 7 o'clock and at 7:30, the Flyers and the Red Wings from Detroit. I got to see the Red Wings twice live. Worst team in the league for sure. A lot of things going on there in their rebuild. So right now, if you're taking on the Detroit Red Wings, who have just, I believe, 5 wins in their last 37 games and just 12 wins overall, and you fancy yourself as a playoff team, you got to get 2 points against Detroit, and that's what the Flyers will try to do tonight. Back with you again on Wednesday. Leah Hextall will be our special guest as usual on Wednesday. You want to get in touch with me? Best way to do that is at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.